Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. Yeah, so guess what? welcome to Calling Monster Island, where I, the host Godzilla Kid, will tell you all there is to know about Godzilla. Hey! What's up, guys? All four of you who still listen to this podcast? Certainly has been a while, hasn't it? My last episode was in August of... August of 2023. I mean, it's still 2023, but just the fact that the last episode was August is, it's not great, you know? To be completely honest with you, school, it exists. I have to go to it every day or, I won't get a job. So, like... You know, fun. Kind of need to be there and focus on school stuff, which is what I've been doing, which is why I haven't released an episode in a really long time. my laptop just asked me if I wanted to get rid of any printer software that I still have on my computer. No, you idiot, I have Audacity opened and my mic is plugged in. Why would you ask me that question right now? You know what? If I'm feeling like it, this will all get edited out. But don't count on it. So so this is a little late. I was gonna do a Godzilla Day thing. Well, actually, I was going to make a Gamera Rebirth episode. First off, I was gonna make a Skull Island episode about the Skull Island TV show. Then I was gonna make a Gamera Rebirth episode. Then I was gonna make a Godzilla Day episode. Now we're not doing any of that. We're making a goddamn Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah review. Because I just watched that movie about 2 weeks ago, and it is the funniest thing I think I have ever seen. Over the past 3 months, I have been working very hard to think of stuff to do for the podcast and stuff to do, you know, to keep you guys coming back, keep you listening. Unfortunately, since I was gone, no new iTunes reviews, so I don't have anything to read out on the podcast. I do have a lot of news, but, over the 3 months, I have been, actually doing stuff to contribute to the podcast. Been buying some Blu-rays, been, allocating some resources for the cast. I am going to go see Godzilla Minus One December 1st. I'm unfortunately not going to be able to make it to the fan event because I have stuff to do that day, which is really sad because it's an early access screening and I know I'm not going to be able to go on Wikizilla for like 3 days afterwards because my entire feed is just going to be flooded with, "Did you see what happened in Godzilla Minus One?" It's like, no, I won't 3 days, but, how y'all been? If it's not good, then I'm very sorry. Yeah, I'm real sad for you. But I hope this brightens up your day a little bit. So, if you weren't paying close enough attention, I'm going to be reviewing Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah, and I'm not gonna speak on anything that I'm doing yet, because, I'm trying to work out, like, the order of stuff. I want to do a deep dive into the Godzilla anime trilogy soon. Not the actual films themselves, but the production surrounding them, and maybe the prequel novels, and some stuff here and there. But not the actual films themselves. I've talked about those heaps of trash before, and I don't need to say anything else again. I said all I need to say about the movies themselves, and I don't really want to rewatch them, so. So if you hear any random buzzes throughout the cast, pay it no heed. Payeth no heed to that. It's just probably my phone. And if it's not my phone, I don't know what else it could be. Hopefully not a kaiju attack. I'm really excited to be here to talk about Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah. Maybe my new favorite Heisei movie, just because of the sheer audacity of this movie and what it was willing to do with its plot and its story, and how goddamn stupid it is. So I've never really cussed on this show before, but I've been under a ton of stress lately. So if anything slips out, I'm very sorry. I will still not be marking the episodes as explicit because if one thing slips out here or there, someone is calling me and I do not know who it is. I'm recording right now. F off. But if I say something that may maybe it's a naughty word. Sorry. I think longtime viewers know this is not scripted, so if something just happens to slip out, then sorry. So yeah, 7 minute long intro, and haven't even done the news yet. Nice. I'm really coming off strong on this this return to form, guys. Yeah. So I probably should cover everything from August onwards. You know what? I'm gonna skip a few things. So, Monarch Legacy of Monsters is the title of the Godzilla series that we had heard rumblings about from Apple TV. It had a couple trailer releases while I was gone. It got its title. And it's being released this Friday, as of this recording, which is November 17th, 2023. And if I do not live to see the whole show, then damn, that sucks. Also, the Scott Pilgrim anime is coming out also this Friday, and I may or may not be more excited about that than the Godzilla TV show. And this is a Godzilla podcast. What? I really like Scott Pilgrim, okay? What else? What is it called? The release date of Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire got pushed back to April 12th, 2024, and that sucks if you were looking forward to that movie. I wasn't, so I really don't care. Along the way, Toho has put out trailers and posters and all kinds of stuff for Gojira Minus One. So, there's that. The trailers are actually really cool. I'm not gonna do like a breakdown or anything, but you can find those if you want. If you want. Gamera Rebirth was released September 9th. September 7th, my bad. And it was very good. It was incredibly good. I started making a review on that, and I believe the file got corrupted, so fun. If this file gets corrupted, I will make this entire episode from scratch again because I actually just want to put something out, and be productive. Be predictor. Predictor. Kind of trying to blast through the news a little bit. Okay, we got some new Godzilla comics. So, they're gonna make, so IDW will be making a trade paperback of Godzilla Here There Be Monsters. They have published release dates for all of Godzilla War for Humanity, which is, I believe, a 5-issue run, which I, from what I've seen of the comic, I really hope it extends past 5 issues, but at this point, it's only going to be 5 issues. Godzilla Rivals Jet Jaguar versus Megalon has a release date slated for December 20th, 2023. The cover looks very interesting. I'm not sure if I love if I'm digging the art style or not. Oh, the retailer incentive one is kind of cool. The retail incentive cover. That's cool. And it kind of matches up with cover B. And cover B, I'm probably gonna get that one instead of cover A because it looks a lot cooler. Anyways. Oh, Rivals versus Mechagodzilla is coming out November 15th, which is tomorrow. Okay. The previous one, Godzilla Rivals versus Space Godzilla, I'm almost considering doing a complete episode just about that comic because of how good it was. And let's be honest here, it was made by Matt Frank, and I think Matt Frank kind of deserves that because he is an absolute freaking legend. If you missed my G-Fest episode, I actually met him because he was at G-Fest and he was super nice. If you ever get the chance to meet Matt Frank, do it, man. He is so cool. He is one of the nicest people I met all during G-Fest. So yeah. And I literally only talked to him for like 5 seconds, so. So Toho at October 13th released a teaser trailer for Godzilla versus Megalon, a 3D short film that was going to be made by Takuya Inishi, I believe is how you pronounce his name, who is the same guy who made Godzilla versus Gigan Rex, which was phenomenal. And along the way, Godzilla Minus One premiered at a Tokyo International Film Festival and received rave reviews from Japanese critics, calling it an intellectual reboot to the series, a spectacular visual experience, all kinds of really great stuff. And also, it has been released in Japan officially on Godzilla Day. What great timing Toho has. And it also released to rave reviews from audiences. So, this is looking to be one of the greatest modern day Godzilla films, like ever. So, yeah. But along the way, Toho released Godzilla vs. Megalon, the aforementioned short film, and Fest Godzilla 4, Operation Jetto Dagger. Yeah, and I think Godzilla vs. Megalon was a ton of fun. It's directly connected to Godzilla vs. Gigan Rex, as the same Godzilla, it's in the same universe. They actually implemented live action actors into this one instead of just the CGI elements that were in Gigan Rex. So, really cool stuff. Really cool stuff. Operation Jet Jaguar was okay. I think the audio quality was absolutely terrible on the YouTube release, and oh boy, did they just screw the pooch on the actual, like, end of the fight? Because the end of the fight, at the end of the fight, King Ghidorah comes in to set up next year's short, because I guess, you know, next year is the 60th anniversary of King Ghidorah. It's also the 50th anniversary of King Caesar and Mechagodzilla, so, you know. I hope King Caesar gets the 3D animated, the 3D animated one, the 3D animated, short film, and then Mechagodzilla gets the live action one, because I really want to see a modern day recreation of the Showa Mechagodzilla suit. I think, I think that would be really cool, actually. but before we move on, there is one thing I want to talk about other than what I just mentioned. So, some interesting figures have been released by Movie Monster Series, and one that I think concerns a lot of the people who listen to this show. Bandai released on, I believe they released on Godzilla Day, a Biollante Flower Beast form figure, a Hedorah Crawling version figure, a Kiryu Heavy Arms Black figure, and a minus one Goji Metallic figure. And they also announced a Godzilla 1955 and an Anguirus 1955 figure, which were both slated for the release date of November 25th. And then the coolest goddamn thing in the entire history of Godzilla collecting happened, and they released, unannounced, they released a Boggin figure. Boggin, if you do not know, is a, Boggin is the name of the kaiju who was never actually in a movie. He was Tomoyuki Tanaka's, like, favorite Godzilla kaiju, who was unfortunately never in an actual film. He was supposed to be in, like, 7 different movies, and he only ever appeared in Super Godzilla on the Super Famicom and Super Nintendo, and Godzilla Movie Studio Tours for Apple II and DOS and Windows 95. So, you know, kind of, like, legendary that this super obscure kaiju got a figure. I will be picking this up and probably doing a tribute to Boggin sometime. I don't know. I made an entire episode about the history of Boggin. You can go listen to that. It's an earlier episode, but I think it's one of the earlier episodes that actually sounds like a competent human being made it, and not just like an idiot fiddling around with an iPad and a mic. Because that's what a lot of those older episodes sound like. They also released for a 2024 release, a Hedorah Flying Form figure. You're never gonna believe this. A Hedorah Strawberry Chocolate figure, which, wow, Bandai, you're getting more and more creative by the second. A Godzilla 1964 figure, and repaints of the aforementioned Godzilla 55 and Anguirus 55 figure to look like memorial box figures, Toy Dreams figures, which were just like these limited edition figures put out by Bandai in, like, 2005. So that's really cool. But the thing that concerns me here for the 2004 releases is an announcement of a Minya figure, which, if you don't know, Minya is my favorite kaiju, and this figure looks amazing. So yeah, I got two new figure releases to look out for, Minya and Boggin. You could not contrast those two kaiju more drastically. You have Minya, the son of Godzilla, very cute little guy, very goofy little boy, and then you have Boggin, the embodiment of death and destruction. So that might be the funniest double buy of all time. So yeah. I don't really feel like doing a fancy transition or anything, so I say we just jump right into this wild frickin' movie and get started, because oh boy, this is a doozy. This is a movie that does in fact exist. Okay. I'm gonna be completely frank with you. I saw this movie a lot as a kid. I watched it a ton when I was just a wee little lad. It was probably one of my favorite Godzilla movies when I was a child, when I had only seen about 10 Godzilla movies. It was up there. I feel like it's one of these cases, like All Monsters Attack or Godzilla's Revenge, where I have such heavy nostalgia for the movie, it's kind of hard to take those nostalgia glasses off. But where I can take my nostalgia goggles off for All Monsters Attack and kind of just view it and be like, you know what? I actually just genuinely like this movie for its content and not just because of nostalgia. I can't do that for Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah because the little bit by bit that I take my nostalgia goggles off, what I once saw as a goofy Godzilla action movie turns into a horrifying time travel plot that is so confusing, it makes Terminator Genesis look like it knows how to write time travel. I mean, okay, I won't be that hard on it. It's not the constant time flow theory, like most films use. It is a split timeline, so you know how fun those are. So, you know, fun. No. I actually despise this movie. I don't despise this movie. So this movie isn't amazing, but I mean, it's not terrible. Though, if you hear some just rapid barking, that would be my dogs. They are being very stupid right now. Anyways, Godzilla versus King Ghidorah. Yay. So, this movie's a mess. I'm sorry, it had to be said. So, okay. Sorry, I was looking at Wikizilla. I'm sorry. I get so easily distracted by this website. They're just so goofy and silly. Anyways. Y'all ready for this? Where to even friggin' start with this movie? Okay, I guess we should start with where any good movie starts, the beginning. Except it actually doesn't start at the beginning, it starts near the end, but you know, whatever. So this, I'm gonna drip feed you, or I'm not gonna drip feed you information. I'm gonna tell you the story how it actually happens, not how the movie portrays the information, because at the beginning of the film, we're actually near the end of the film, and then it cuts back to the beginning. You know what? Screw it. I'm gonna be as stupid as the movie is. I'm going to tell you basically the end of the movie right now. So, we hard cut from the Toho logo. Or, if you're watching in America, most likely the TriStar Columbia logo. God damn it. We hard cut from that to, was it 2205 AD? The year of our Lord, 2205. Where, we see one Emi Kano, one of my favorite, well, I guess she's not really a protagonist because she's not there for like 30 minutes of the movie, but whatever. One of my favorite Heisei Godzilla characters, Emi Kano, is inside the submarine under the water, and she's talking to who looks like just a white man, and she's going, that big old monster right there, yeah, that's King Ghidorah. And somehow the cold water of Japan has preserved his body for 200 years, and the guy goes, he's a two-headed dragon. And she's like, he used to have three. And she's like, now follow me here. What if we were to restore those body parts? And then it hard cuts to, bow, 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 bow. That's my really bad interpretation of Akira Ifukube's quite amazing score. We hard cut to the title card, as some horror YouTubers would say. And, then we cut back to, was it 19, canonically in universe, it's 1992. Believe it's Tokyo? I'm not sure. And we see a very large, UFO flying over the air, and that is when we get introduced to main character Kun. He is a newspaper writer, or he's an author, I think. And he writes for a newspaper, and he's like, wow, a UFO in the sky, that could be the biggest scoop of all time. I better figure out what that was. And, so, of course, the media is in an uprise, right? The media is trying to explain this weird-ass thing that just happened, you know? Oh, there's a flying UFO in the sky, you know? But main character Kun, he doesn't care. He don't care about this damn UFO. He cares about this random dude who's protesting a dinosaur exhibit at a random museum in Japan. Why? Because the man keeps saying that, like, dinosaurs are good and shouldn't be painted in a negative light, even though it's literally just a museum full of fossils and animatronics. It's 1992. Alright, dinosaurs are popular. They're not being chastised or anything. I don't know why this guy is freaking out. But basically, main character Kun interviews the guy, and he's like, hey, why do you care so much about these dinosaurs? And he's like, I'll tell you why. Because in the 40s, during the war, I was on an abandoned island with my garrison, and we were saved from American attacks by a dinosaur. And so, so main character Kun asks, Yasuaki Shindo, which is who was the commander of the garrison, and current head of the corporation known as the Tao Group. And he says that everything that the guy said was true, and that is in fact how it all went down. So, main character Kun then makes a theory that the dinosaur was exposed to H-bomb tests near Bikini Atoll, and that is what created Godzilla. So, that's our A plot, right? We got Ryder, Kun, guy who is like, hey, I think I know the origins of Godzilla. Jesus. Now our B plot is the JSDF tracking down the UFO, finding out that Godzilla is in fact, like, very weakened at the bottom of the seafloor, and communicating with the quote-unquote aliens known as the Futurians. The Futurians is never said officially in the movie, but I believe it is just a fan-adopted term. Oh my. So, essentially, right, the Futurians are these people from the future, and they're from the 23rd century, and they've come back from 1992 to warn Japan about utter destruction. They say that Godzilla is still alive, and that he was in fact created by Bikini Atoll testing, like main character Kun said in his book, which he hasn't even written yet. And the guy's like, hey, I haven't told anyone this theory, I haven't written this book, I haven't published anything, so why are you saying that I'm the one who came up with this theory? And the Futurians go, well, we have a copy of your book from the future. Future. Entitled The Birth of Godzilla. And the book basically details the entire theory that main character Kun had come up with up until this point. Really kind of a cool concept that, like, the Futurians, as evidence for being good guys, bring a book that was not written yet as evidence. I just think that's kind of cool. That concept of using something that hasn't been created yet is just cool. I think, if I'm being completely frank here, I think the Bill and Ted movies do a lot with that, of like that whole, well, we haven't done it yet, so we just need to go back in time to make sure that we set all these things up for ourselves. I don't know. I just want to talk about Bill and Ted. Not over this. This is going to be a fun This is already a fun episode. So, basically, main character Kun is like, wow, my book was a really good bestseller, right? Wasn't it? And they were like, yeah, it was. Anyways, Japan's gonna fall under Godzilla's control and get destroyed if we don't, like, you know, go back in time. So the JSDF devises a crew to go with main character Kun and the Futurians to essentially kill Godzilla before he's actually Godzilla. So, Mickey goes back in time, Emmy goes back in time, their leader, Wilson, goes back in time, best character, M11, goes back in time, main character Coon goes back in time. Or does Wilson go back in time? I don't remember. But I know M11 goes back in time. Goes back in time because there's a scene of him running through the forest and it's the most amazing thing ever. And one other dude goes, but I don't remember who he is. Yeah, Wilson doesn't go. I remember now. Wilson doesn't go because he gives explicit orders to Emmy to do one thing and one thing only. And yeah. So anyways. So Wilson tells her there's these three little guys called the Dorats, which are basically these pets from the future, which are both man-made and biological creatures at the same time. It's 23rd century technology, don't question it. He says, leave these three guys behind. And this is where it first starts to get confusing. Because if the theory that everyone from like 5 years ago thought was true, then she should already remember putting these here and them becoming Ghidorah. Because spoilers, the Dorats, these three little creatures with gold scales and wings, become Ghidorah. Who could have guessed? So yeah, if it was a time loop theory, like everyone thought, not even 5 years ago, like literally a year ago, then, you know, that would not be true, because I remember rewatching this theory, or rewatching this movie, about 2 or 3 years ago when the time loop theory was still widely accepted as the ideal theory. And at the time, the theory was that simply, legitimately, Godzilla, or that the Godzillasaurus was Godzilla, but there was a different Godzilla, and that, or I don't remember the time loop theory, because the time loop theory is dumb. Really, really stupid. So, the actual theory that makes sense now is that there's three separate timelines. The first timeline is main character Coon sees the UFO, has the interview with the guy, and starts writing his book, right? And in timeline one, where absolutely nothing happens, just timeline one, which, by the way, timeline two and three can't exist without timeline one, it would end right before the Futurians go into the past. Timeline 2 is them going into the past and changing the events of the future. Timeline 3, to be quite frank, is the rest of the movie. So it is not a time loop. It is instead just multiple timelines that all connect to each other. But here's the deal. You might be saying, dear listener, you might be saying, well, then wouldn't the events of 54, 84, and versus Biollante all be erased? No, because when the Futurians moved the Godzillasaurus to Bikini Atoll, right, or under the sea. It wasn't to Bikini Atoll specifically. You know, that whole situation happens where nothing happens to the corpse for about 30 years until the 80s. And in the 80s, it might even be the 70s actually, a Russian nuclear sub crashes into Godzilla. He's around 50 meters, wherever he was in 84, and begins wreaking havoc on the nuclear subs in 84. But you might be saying, well, that explains how the original Heisei movies happened, but then how did 54 happen? Well, there was actually another Danaso in Bikini Atoll somewhere. There you go. That's as simple as I can put it, how the split timeline theory works, and that's what Toho always intended us to perceive this movie as. This is why I hate time travel plots so much. To be honest with you, it's actually why I like this movie even more. So now that we got all that time mumbo jumbo all suited up nice and dapper, let's explain the rest of the movie, shall we? So essentially, after that point, Jesus Christ, this movie is a friggin' trip, dude. Okay, so after they move the original Godzillasaurus's corpse, right? They go back into the past, but not the same past from Timeline 1. It's now a new past created because of all of the events of this. So, come back to what is now the third timeline, and they're like, hey, why do I still remember who Godzilla is? Shouldn't that affect my memory? And they're like, yeah, that's pretty weird. We shouldn't remember who Godzilla is because technically we've never seen him before. And turns out, yeah, you have, because the two Godzillasauruses split timelines, everything happens for a reason. Do you see how much sense the multiple timelines theory works more than the, or do you see how much better the multiple timeline theory works than the time loop theory? Because the time loop theory legitimately just states, yeah, well, actually, it was always meant to happen that way. So without putting the corpse there, then Godzilla would never exist to begin with. Meaning that 54 Goji also wouldn't exist if the corpse wasn't moved. 54 Goji existing has nothing to do with the corpse getting moved. Those are two completely separate entities. They're two completely separate characters, even in this story. The time loop theory doesn't make any damn sense. It really doesn't. But anyways, so they go into the future, and all of a sudden, there's a ton of news reports being like, a three-headed monster is attacking, was it seen flying over Fukuoka, I think, and is attacking somewhere? I'm honestly not sure. I believe it's Fukuoka, though. So, anyways, guys, you're not gonna believe this. It was actually the Dorrats. So the Dorrats that Emmy placed is what created Ghidorah, and Emmy goes through this whole thing with Wilson, the leader of the Futurians, where she's like, hey, dude, I didn't know that we created Ghidorah. I didn't know that Dorrats created Ghidorah. And he was like, you dumb idiot. Who did you think created Ghidorah? He's like, who, what else, what other creature would have created Ghidorah? She's like, oh, you sick bastard. We just doomed the entire Japanese race. Because essentially what happened was, okay. Essentially what happened was that if Timeline 1 Yeah, if Timeline 1 continued like it did and was never interrupted, Godzilla never reawoke from the Anub infection and died on the seafloor. He died, that was all she wrote. And then, you know, no King Ghidorah. And because of that, Japan became an economical superpower and basically became the most powerful country and pretty much overthrew the world by 2204. And Wilson didn't want that to happen because he's a stupid bitch. Essentially. But the reason Godzilla returns and the reason he is also what is it? Yeah, 100 meters in this movie is because the moving of the corpse. Actually, I need to look this up to make sure that I'm doing this justice, because I'm pretty sure this is what happens. But okay. Okay, I'm sorry for all the dead noise. Okay. Okay, okay, never mind, never mind. I was right, I was right. Okay, so basically, what happens is, they never prevented Godzilla to begin with, right? And they never prevented Godzilla. Essentially, what happened was, King Ghidorah attacks, and they say that Godzilla is the only thing that could physically stop Ghidorah, right? Valid. So, Mickey says, so basically the government the government devises a plan called Operation G to revive Godzilla, right? And so they're like, hey, we're going to send a nuclear sub down there. We're going to revive Goji. It's going to be great. And then he's going to kill King Ghidorah and everything's going to be fine. And that's not what happens, because what happens is Godzilla is 80 meters because of what happened in both 84 and versus Biollante. And Mickey senses something on the ocean floor, but it's not the Godzillasaurus. So before they can warn the government that it's not the Godzillasaurus, Mickey realizes it's an 80-meter tall Godzilla, and they try to warn the government to turn back. Godzilla destroys the nuclear sub. What a surprise, guys. He powers himself up and becomes 100 meters. This movie's a goddamn riot. Okay. We only have a little bit left for plot. Jesus, this movie is a dumpster fire. Which is why I love it so much. So, Godzilla comes ashore. He starts, you know, throwing a hissy fit. He's like, why'd you goddamn idiots wake me up? And then Ghidorah's like, hey, bitch, I'm gonna kill you. Then Godzilla then goes to get choked, not almost to death, because he's a badass. He blows Ghidorah's head off, his center head off, and then blows a bunch of holes in Ghidorah's wings so that he can't fly, and then just pushes him in the ocean. So King Ghidorah rests at the seafloor, and then Godzilla destroys a lot of Japan. So, Emmy is like, hey, this is really bad. What if I kill all the Futurians? Because they lied to me. They said that we would be making Japan better. And we would be, we would be getting rid of Godzilla, we would be getting rid of Ghidorah. All this kind of stuff, you know? So, Emmy and main character Kun have kind of developed a bit of a relationship at this point, and they go to kill the Futurians. Some stuff happens with M11, which I will mention in my favorite moments. And they reprogram M11 to be a good boy robot now. So, M11, main character Kun, and Emmy all storm the Futurian ship, somehow kill almost every soldier in there, and then teleport the ship in front of Godzilla after he kills King Ghidorah just in time so that he can blow up the ship. And Jesus Christ, this movie is amazing. So Emmy's like, hey, so this is kind of not good. You guys now have no way to fight this now supercharged Godzilla, and you're kind of screwed, actually. So Emmy now creates another goddamn timeline where she goes back into the future. She goes to 2024. She goes, Aol Scott here. She uses future technology to rebuild King Ghidorah's second head and rebuild his wings, give him some ankle bracelets that apparently give him anti-gravity powers. Because, that's definitely how that works. And she goes back to Japan, drops Godzilla into the ocean, severely weakened, but still alive. And all is good in the world. Then she goes back to the future. And now the future is all different, and it's wonderful. And beside all the dumbass time travel stuff, I actually really like this movie. Unfortunately, the dumbass time travel stuff is like more than half the movie. I think it's really just like piecing it all together is what's stupid. It's like the actual like act of them time traveling is really cool. But anyways, favorite and least favorite moments. So for favorite and least favorite, my favorite moment is personally when M11 is on the road and he's running because it's this cool like motorcycle shootout. Or no, it's not a motorcycle shootout. It's a Jeep shootout. This is definitely a very much hard sci-fi Godzilla movie, which really hasn't been completely done since this movie. Well, I guess technically you could count. Well, no, because the Kiryu Saga is pretty much hard sci-fi. Yeah. But, I don't know, I feel like this is more memorable for me. Not only because it was during the Heisei period, which I feel has a very distinct visual identity to all its Godzilla films, but also, it's a Heisei film, so all of its fights are just beams. I'm sorry, it had to be said. Which is why I like Godzilla vs. Biollante a lot. Because they actually have some like hand-to-hand combat. So, anyways, the score for this movie is amazing. Oh, least favorite moment. Duh. So my least favorite moment of this movie, to be completely honest with you, my least favorite moment of this movie has got to be. Oh my god, this is a really stupid ass moment. So, they're in the ship, right? They're in the Mother. That's the name of the big mothership. of the Futurians. And Emmy and M11 and main character Coon, they're gunning down people with these like futuristic ass laser guns. They're being all cool. They're doing cool stuff. And Emmy teleports the ship in front of Godzilla, right? And maybe this is just a problem with the dub, because I've only ever seen the dub, mainly because of nostalgia's sake. But there's a bunch of dramatic tension because Godzilla is looking right directly at the camera for the mother, and Wilson is inside of it, the leader of the Futurians. And all of a sudden, when Godzilla blows his atomic breath, Wilson gives this most half-assed delivered scream I've ever heard, where he legitimately goes, "Ah!" And it is the funniest goddamn thing, but it undercuts all of the tension in the entire scene. So it kind of ruins the entire scene for me. But you know what? It's a lot better dub than some of the Showa Godzilla movies, which is more than I can say for almost the entire Showa era. So, you know, gotta give it props. It was released in the Heisei era, so, you know, a lot of Akira Ifukube stuff. I don't know, this is probably my favorite Godzilla score after... my favorite Heisei Godzilla score after Versus Biollante. I don't remember where I ranked this score on the Heisei list. I'll need to go back and listen to that episode. I definitely think just for ranking the Heisei Godzilla films, it's like my third favorite, which just tells you how terrible this... Well, not really how terrible this era was, but just like how pitiful some of the fights in this era were. Where, like, I think this is one of the better ones. I don't know. I think it's a really fun movie, even if it's not the most, like, critically good movie ever. It's really dumb. It's really fun. I'd say give it a try if you enjoy, like, if you enjoy some of the dumber episodes of Ultraman Gaia, I would say give this movie a try. I went from being super upbeat and cheerful to, so that tells you, how just one single movie can get to you. So, I guess impact now. I'm trying to remember how the format of my own show works. So impact, this movie had a very large impact on release. It actually let Toho continue making Godzilla films, because Versus Biollante was such a big flop at the box office that they physically could not have made Heisei Godzilla films without this movie. This movie sold a lot of tickets for Toho and was almost only surpassed by... Versus Mothra and Versus Destoroyah. Anyways. Nowadays, it's kind of just remembered as how I just said, a really weird and really fun but confusing-ass movie that just so happens to feature two monsters who nearly kill each other. Yeah. Final thoughts, I guess. Final thoughts. This movie is fun as hell, but you need to think a little bit about all the time travel yada yada if you want to actually understand the official Heisei Godzilla canon. If you just want to turn this movie on and turn your brain off and just watch a Godzilla movie, then, you know, this is perfectly fine. Very fun, very dumb. human characters are not some of my favorites, but also, well, except Emi Kano and M11, which M11's an android, so whatever. Actually, I want to give a little bit of trivia on this film. In, I believe, 2015, a fan film called, you've probably heard of it, Jet Jaguar Project M11 was made by a Japanese, was it college group, I believe? I believe it's a college film troupe is the people who made it. Basically, it was just a trailer for a direct sequel to this movie. So, yeah, it featured Jet Jaguar and M11, as the title suggests. So, yeah. Check that out. It's on YouTube. And I don't really have anything else to say. So, I have been Godzilla Kid, and I hope you had a wonderful time on the return of Calling Monster Island. I'm gonna go scream at my dogs now for almost messing up this entire recording, and probably messing up this ending. See ya, folks!